And she said, can you help with some of the lack of gospel truth in that song? And so I wrote a couple of stanzas for that and doctored on it a little bit. And that was a blessing. Thank you for singing that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 25. The book of Exodus chapter 25, and you can leave your Bibles open there, and I will get to this portion of Scripture in a little bit. But in the Word of God, there are three arcs that are mentioned, and each one is designed to set forth our Savior. And of course, that's not surprising, because all of the Old Testament is written to point us to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when it comes to these three different arcs, they certainly show us a place of safety, a place of preservation for the people of God. The first ark that is mentioned in the Bible, of course, is the Ark of Noah. God told Noah to build an ark, gave him the dimensions, he gave him the blueprints of how to build that ark. It wasn't a boat, it wasn't a ship, it wasn't designed to navigate waters, it was designed to float and to be a place of safety for Noah and his family. This was a divine provision of God. God had looked, he had seen the wickedness of man was great, and therefore God, he determined he would send a universal judgment of water upon this earth. He would open up the fountains of the deep, and he would open up the skies above, and water would come from beneath, and water would come from above. But there was one of God's sheep there who, by the grace of God, loved our Lord, and that man's name was Noah. And God instructed Noah to build this ark. It was large enough for Noah and his family, and they had plenty of room for all the different kinds of animals that God instructed Noah to take into the ark with him. It was for the family of Noah and for all of those animals, it was a place of safety. Safety from the wrath of God. Safety from the judgment of God. Our God must punish iniquity. He will punish sin. The wickedness had become so great that it's though God were saying, I'm not going to put up with this much longer. 120 years, that's the days of man upon this earth. But Noah, the scripture says, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And they went into the ark, Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. The eight of them went in, having taken the animals into the ark, undoubtedly led by the hand of God. Those animals became meek and manageable for Noah and his sons. They were all safely in the ark, and then God called them into the ark, and then God shut the door. And when God shut the door after a few days, then the water came up from beneath and the water from above. And everyone in the ark, every animal in the ark, was absolutely safe. God did not hold back his judgment. This world was very much deserving of the vengeance of God, the wrath of God. But God had provided for his people a place of safety. Oh, the judgment of God still fell on the ark. And those people were in the ark. But there's no judgment that fell on them. And that pictures our Lord Jesus. All of the elect of God are in Christ. We were put in Christ before the world began. God still had to punish our sin. Had to do something about our sinfulness. And so He opened the floodgates of His judgment upon our substitute, upon the ark of our salvation. And our Lord Jesus bore all of the vengeance of God that our sins deserved. And we were in Him. But not one drop of wrath has ever or will ever touch us. We're safe in the ark of God's salvation. Of course, the ark had one door, one way of entrance. Didn't matter how big the animals were, all went in the same door. And Noah and his wife and sons and daughters-in-law, they went in the same door as did all of the animals. Our Lord said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. And I tell you, that ark, Noah's ark, did its job. It did its job. It preserved those occupants inside. And our Lord Jesus, He came into this world to do a job. He had a work to do. And He finished that work. He said He did. And in John 19:30, He said, it is finished. I've saved my people. I've justified my people by my bloody death. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We walk after the Spirit. Where do you think the Spirit of God leads us? We walk after the Spirit. Where does the Spirit of God lead us? He leads us to Christ Jesus. He leads us to the ark of our salvation. And in the Savior, we're safe. He's our ark. And then the second ark mentioned in the Bible is the ark of bulrushes. The ark of bulrushes. It's in Exodus, the second chapter. Of course, an evil Pharaoh had taken over the reins of Egypt. And he was angry with the Israelites because they were multiplying. And he determined he'd get rid of all the little baby boys. And there was a couple of Israelites down there in Egypt, Amram and Jochebed. And they had a little boy. And his name was Moses. His name became Moses. And they hid him as best they could for 3 months. But when they couldn't hide him anymore, they made an ark of bulrushes. And then, having pitched it within and without with some kind of asphalt, they put Moses in and set him out among the, Scripture calls it, the flags of the river, that is, the reeds of the river. They didn't put him out in the water where the current would take him away. He's kind of right there along the banks of the river, among the reeds, the flags, where he couldn't be swept away, but he could be seen. The ark of bulrushes kept him safe. He's God's chosen man. Moses, protected by God. Pharaoh would have killed him. He would have done away with him. Pharaoh being a picture of Satan, the evil one. And he would do away with the Lord Jesus. He would do away with us. But as God protected His Son, so He protects us. And He protects us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way that the evil one can have us. He can't touch us. He can't kill us. Because we belong to God. We're the children of God. We've always been the children of God. He can harass us, and He does. He can tempt us, and He does. He can, if God's pleased to use Him this way, make life difficult for us, and God does do that. But He can't have our souls. He can't destroy us. Why not? We're safe in the ark, Christ Jesus. And neither the river of the Nile River will swallow up Moses, neither shall the river of this world swallow us up, and Pharaoh won't get his claws into us, even as Pharaoh didn't get his claws into Moses, though he wanted to, some 40 years later. God kept Moses safe. But then it's this third ark that we're talking about now, the Ark of the Covenant. Read with me here silently as I read Exodus chapter 25, verse 10. And I told you this morning that this is the very first piece of furniture that God gave instructions about making. And later we find this is the very first piece of furniture that was made. Exodus 25:10, and they shall make an ark of shittim wood, acacia wood, very durable. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without. It's the only piece of furniture in the tabernacle overlaid within and without with gold. And then this has a crown of gold round about to hold the lid of the ark. And thou shalt make 4 rings of gold for it, put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, 2 rings in the other side of it, and thou shalt make staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. And then thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne within. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. Nobody's going to put a hand on that ark. They put a hand on the ark, they're going to die. One fellow did much later, Uzzah. He laid his hand on the ark, and you can't look in that ark. As a lot of people in Beth Shemesh looked into the ark, God killed over 50,000 at one time. This ark is to be borne by the Levites. They're to put those sticks of wood, those rods covered with gold, through the rings, and then hoist it up and carry it. Verse 16. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee, God's law. And then here's the lid, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And of course, we saw this morning the very pattern for this back in Genesis chapter 3. And make 1 cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. The cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there, Moses, I will meet with thee and speak or commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. This is the ark of the covenant. I'm so thankful that God has not had anybody find the ark of the covenant. Because if they ever found the ark of the covenant, they would do with it just exactly what they did to the brazen serpent. You remember when Hezekiah took the throne of Israel, or of Judah, excuse me. This was after the kingdom divided. Hezekiah took the throne, and he started doing away with idolatry. And he found that brazen serpent that had been kept and honored from the days that it was used back in Moses' time in the wilderness. Moses had lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, a picture of our Lord Jesus being lifted up, as found in John chapter 3 and verse 14. But that brazen serpent had been kept and revered, honored. This is sacred. And Hezekiah found it. He broke it to pieces. He said, this is just Nehushtan. Nehushtan. What does that mean? A worthless piece of brass. That's all it is. And if they found the Ark of the Covenant, oh, don't you know men would worship that and honor that? Just like they say they found pieces of the cross upon which our Lord Jesus died, stained with His blood. It's just idolatry is all that is. Idolatry. And God will have nothing of that. This Ark of the Covenant, it was very special back then because it was a picture. A picture of the Lord Jesus, and in Christ the law of God is preserved. In Christ the law is kept. In Christ is as was in the Ark of the Covenant, the golden pot of manna. In Christ, every provision that His people need during our lifetimes and even throughout eternity, He meets every need. That golden pot of manna, it's in Christ. But my God shall here's what Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in and by Christ Jesus. That's where the abundant supply is. It's in Him. There's a golden pot of manna in there, and there's the Aaron's rod that budded. He is God's high priest. And as Aaron's rod laid down in the holy place, in the holy of holies, along with the 11 other rods, representatives of the 11 other tribes. And here's Aaron's rod. Each rod had the name of the respective person on it. And it put it in before the Lord, all 12 rods. And the next morning, 11 of them rods, just like they were when it was put in there. But one of those rods, wow, it budded and bloomed. It blossomed and bore almonds. Almonds. God said, that's my high priest. Aaron's my high priest. And God said, put that in the ark. Put that in the ark of the covenant. Our Lord Jesus is the great high priest. He is the one who does business with God. I read to you there in Hebrews chapter 9. When the high priest, or whoever the high priest of that particular year happened to be, he offered the blood of a bullock and the blood of a goat. He offered the blood of a bullock because he himself was a sinner. He's got to have a sacrifice for Himself. But our Lord Jesus, He had no sacrifice. There was no need of a sacrifice for Himself. He's the perfect Son of God. And the blood that He offered to God, the blood of atonement, was not the blood of bulls or goats or rams or turtle doves or any other kind of animal. It was His own blood. And by His own blood, He entered in once into the presence of God. So inside that Ark of the Covenant, as a place of preservation, there's the law of God. He kept it. He honored it. And because He honored that law, and He saved us by His grace, that law has absolutely no claim to any of God's people. We sing that song, "Free from the Law." Oh, happy condition. That's a happy condition to be free from the law of God. Free from bondage. We have liberty in Christ Jesus to worship. And when we sin, which we do numerous times every day, we're not scared of that the law of God's going to come after us with judgment. We're not scared that God's going to beat the fire out of us. Now, He chastens on those whom He loves, no question about that. But that's the loving chastisement of a parent. But there's no punishment to the people of God. There's no judgment to the people of God. And the law of God is satisfied with us. Because the law of God is preserved perfectly in our ark, Christ Jesus. Aren't you afraid that God will come after you in judgment for your sins? Aren't you scared that when you appear before the Lord, that the Lord is going to embarrass you before all the people, all the people who've ever lived, and all of the angels of God, and all of the demons there? He's going to embarrass us before them all at the judgment and say, "You failed me here. You sinned here. I'm going to take your rewards away from you." Aren't you afraid of that? Not in the least. My Savior answered every demand of divine justice for me. The law is silent.
Amen.
In fact, if the law of God could speak, it would say, "Let them go. I found a ransom. Somebody's already paid for his sins. You show me anywhere in God's Word where a child of the King was afraid to meet God when he died. Fearful of embarrassment. Fearful of being shamed. Put to shame because of their failures during life. No, they all look forward to seeing the Lord. And so do I. And you should as well. Because the law of God was not made for a righteous man. Are you righteous? Huh? Are you? I am. That's big talk for a sinner. It is. And if it wasn't so, it'd be terrible to say it. But I'm righteous in Christ Jesus. His name is Jehovah Sid Canu, the Lord our righteousness. And guess what? That's our name too.
Amen.
What is it that God demands? Perfection. What is it that the law of God demands? Perfection. I'm righteous in Christ. I don't have any sin. In that day, the sins of Judah and Israel shall be sought for. The iniquity shall be sought for. Every rock turned over. Is there any sin to be found? Any transgression to be found against these people? No. Why not? Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The ark. The law is safely preserved in there. The golden pot of manna is in there and reminds us that through all their wilderness journeys, God met every need of the Israelites. Even their shoes didn't wear out. That's what it says. Their shoes didn't wear out. Don't you worry about God taking care of you. He has the ability and He has the strength and He has the willingness to take care of His children. You don't have any idea, nor do I, of how much the Lord loves His children. And the very best illustration of His love is that He gave us His only begotten Son. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sin, the satisfaction of divine justice. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Everything we need. Let me tell you something. All you need is Christ Jesus. If you have Him, you can rest assured you have all spiritual blessings in Him. You have everything. That's the reason this idea there are going to be different levels of heaven. It's the reason that idea is just foolish. Some going to get more than others. That's a crazy idea. That's the works mongers raise that up idea. That's what that's all about. Giving glory to the flesh. If you have all spiritual blessings, and I have all spiritual blessings, and everybody else has all spiritual blessings, nobody's going to get more than anybody else. The fact of the matter is, all we want is Christ. That's all we want. And having Him, we have everything. We have everything. And you see this Ark of the Covenant. It's not only a place of safety, but it's a place where God said, I'm going to meet with you. What He told Moses, I'm going to meet with you here. And He did. He met Moses at the Ark. And He spoke to Moses at the Ark. And then a little later, then Aaron the high priest, God's going to meet him at the Ark of the Covenant. And God's going to speak with him too. And if you want to speak with God, you better go to God through Christ Jesus. Otherwise, He's not going to hear you. Not so as to receive you. I mean, He hears everything. But if you seek something from God, you come to Him the right way. Through Christ Jesus. He's the meeting place. He's the one you got to speak to. Not Mary. She can't help you. Not some other dead child of God. They can't help you. They found all they needed in Christ too. Only one who can help you with all your neediness. And I'm telling you, you and me, we're very needy people. But everything we need's in Him. Everything. We meet God in Christ Jesus. We meet God with broken hearts over sin, and He meets us with perfect forgiveness in Christ. It's amazing, isn't it? We meet God with sorrow over our guilt, and He meets us with acceptance in Christ. We meet God in our misery, and He meets us in His mercy. We meet God in our filthy rags of righteousness, self-righteousness. He meets us with the righteousness of His Son. He meets us with a hungry heart. We meet Him with a hungry heart, and He meets us with the bread and the wine of the gospel. We meet God with a thirst for His presence. He meets us with the water of life. We meet God in our darkness. He meets us with light from on high. We meet God in times of sorrow. He meets us with words of cheer. We meet God in our weakness. He meets us in His strength. He meets us in our loneliness. You know anything about loneliness? He meets us with His comforting presence. We meet God in our neediness. He meets us with the riches of His grace. What a glorious message is to be found in this Ark of the Covenant. And I'll just tell you this, what it's made out of. This Ark of the Covenant was made out of, first of all, shittim wood or acacia wood. This was a very durable, it was the most durable wood that could be found in all of the wilderness. These are the trees that grew in the desert, in the wilderness, and picture the humanity of our Savior. It was the only, give you several things. Number one, it was the only real timber tree of any considerable size in the wilderness. And it actually thrived. It thrived in the desert under the most adverse conditions and circumstances. Our Lord Jesus, He's pictured by this acacia wood, this acacia tree. He tabernacled in this dry and thirsty land. And while there was nothing here to sustain Him, He was kept by the strength of His Father and provided for, and He was sustained Himself under the most adverse circumstances. These shittim trees, they were very unattractive, we read. They had a kind of a gnarled trunk, sometimes at least 2 feet thick, twisted branches, which some of the old historians say that those acacia trees kind of look like a twisted umbrella. Not a very beautiful tree at all. And so we read, you read this morning, there's no beauty about Him that we would desire Him. I'll tell you this, every sinner who gathers under the branches of Christ finds Him to be an umbrella. He's an umbrella from the wrath of God. And the boards that were cut from this tree were very hard and close-grained. It'd be hard to split, I suspect. But made them very durable and virtually incorruptible. And that teaches us the Son of God, He could not be corrupted by sin. He did no sin. No sin was in Him. And even when He died, He was not corrupted by the sin which He bore in His own body on the tree. He couldn't be corrupted. That's why His offering to God was a sweet savor. A sweet savor to God, because it was a sinless offering. And to further prove that His was a sinless offering, even in His death, His body didn't see corruption. Something else about these trees, they had very long, sharp thorns. And though Christ is crowned with honor and glory now, this world had a crown for Him. And it was a crown of thorns. And the bark of the tree, I found this to be interesting. The bark of the tree, when pierced at night, It's like they would milk the tree at night to draw out the sap. The rosin of the acacia tree was used as medicine called gum arabic. Well, Christ was bruised by the Father in the darkness for our sins. His blood's the only cure for what ails us, our sins. With His stripes we're healed. His blood is the balm in Gilead, Jeremiah 8:22. His blood makes atonement for the soul. And then the ark, this wood, was covered within and without with pure gold. Certainly the acacia wood pictured His humanity, real man. The gold pictured His deity. He's more than a man. Oh, He's all man without sin. He's all man, but also He's all God. He's not half man, half God. He's all man. He's bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. He's our elder brother. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Yes, He's one of us. One of us. It took one of us to suffer, bleed, and die. Death is the penalty. God can't die. Christ died. The Son of Man died. But He's more than a man. He's God. Manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He's the source of life. He's the source of all blessings. And in Him, we're safe and secure forever. Do you know who put us in Him? God did. And He did it before He ever made this world. In fact, we've always been in Him. Isn't that right? We've always been in Christ Jesus. So therefore, we've always been safe. Safe in the Son of God. United to Him by sovereign grace. And we shall last as long as He lasts. And that's forever.
Amen.
And nobody can break this relationship we have with Christ Jesus. God did it. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Let's pray. Lord, how shall we find the words to fully express our thanksgiving for that one who is pictured by the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. The mercy seat being the propitiatory where the blood was sprinkled. Oh, thank You for Christ. Thank You for the Son of the Highest. Thank You, Father, for our blessed Savior. We've tried to honor Him and You today. We've tried to exalt the Lord our God. And if we've been able to do that, we certainly give You the glory. No honor, no glory is to go to any flesh in this building. Anything that is done here that blesses us is of God. And we thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your people. And we thank You for the privilege to meet together to worship our God in spirit and in truth. Guide us as we go home, and may all of Your people go home rejoicing. Oh, how safe and preserved we are in the ark of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. Amen. Thank you.